This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, as a country, we really, really enjoy a limited edition, hey, this won't be on shelves forever deal.
Cannot get enough of it. We become collectors. We get on eBay. We start arguing over things. It's crazy.
We freak clean out. Usually it comes in the form of small little plastic toys that everyone freaks out about, your ooshies or your miniatures or whatever. Yeah, those kinds of things. But especially when food, because obviously that's very limited.
Oh, we all remember the great caramilk debacle
when that
first came back to shelves. People were literally driving from one supermarket to another trying to find it.
People were freaking out.
Now it's everywhere.
Yeah, now
Quite frankly, no one cares. There's too many caramilk options now. There's caramilk twirls. There's all sorts of things.
People making caramilk brownies. It's all go. I honestly feel bad for the people who spent like a lot of money on caramilk because now, like you said, it's just everywhere.
The bottom fell out of the caramilk stock market pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
The bubble burst.
Now, I don't know if this will be the same thing because this thing expires kind of quickly, so you kind of do need to eat it sort of. But I guess so does chocolates, kind of.
Yeah, you know, the great thing about the caramilk, though, is chocolate gets that weird white stuff on it when it goes off.
Yeah.
Caramel, you can't tell.
Yeah, that's it.
it just looks like caramel.
It's going to have a lot of flavor to it. It's like a shape. What is hitting shelves across the country is Tip Top have released a golden cinnamon donut loaf soft loaf. It's a weird way to describe it, but it's essentially donut bread. Cinnamon donut bread where it's got like cinnamon all over it. You toast it and essentially you have a loaf of donut. Apparently incredibly hard to find. I've been trying to find it because I don't care at all about
cinnamon.
I love cinnamon and I don't really like sweet stuff. I have no desire at all and had no desire to get any caramilk, but I'm wanting this.
As a fan of Deadwood, you know, back in old Western times, cinnamon and peaches were like
that was a trade.
That was a delicacy.
It's a booming trade.
I have a feeling that you have the palate of like a cowboy because you do love cinnamon and you love fruit.
So I do love fruit and cinnamon. And I also like any kind of canned food as well. I really enjoy that.
So maybe it is. There's something to that. You've got the palate of someone who lived 180 years ago. But the thing here is this is perfectly made for you.
Yeah.
How many supermarkets do you go to looking for this before you give up? Like how many? Because this is what I want to get to. The caramilk thing of last year was absurd. I think the weirdest way I got Franklin Woolies, Gungahlin Coles, Coles Woolies, and then I went, Gungahlin Woolies, and then I went, enough. That's three supermarkets. Yeah. I can't find it. This is silly. I'm driving from place to place to place.
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot. For you with the cinnamon bread, donut bread.
As someone who hasn't even tasted it, three as well. Three and then I'm out.
What if it's unbelievably good?
If I get some and it tastes amazing, there'll be no end.
Yeah.
I'll go into state. And at the moment, that's borderline illegal to go and find some cinnamon toast. So this honestly is really what I'm after.
Okay. The only thing I'd say about any of this is people sometimes say to me like, have you thought of doing anything other than radio? Because this is my dream job. I love doing this job. The only thing I can think of now is working for a food company and just coming up with, hey, guys, have we thought about donut bread?
Yeah.
I know we do English muffins and the white bread and the GI bread and the wholemeal bread. Donut bread?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? That department.
Yeah.
I'd love to work in that department.
The why not department.
At any food company.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
There is something that I think some publicans here in Canberra could get on board with.
Okay.
There's a bar in Massachusetts in the US that's going to be accepting Monopoly money for 2 hours.
Just like not dollar for dollar, surely.
They're going to be trying to get involved in one of like the local Monopoly boards. It seems like every suburb in the world now has a local Monopoly board. But these guys are trying to get included, I guess, on the Massachusetts version of Monopoly.
Right, okay.
And so they've decided Ralph's Tavern are going to be accepting Monopoly money for 2 hours.
But get what I mean by this can't be dollar for dollar because you can just get like, if you just took $100 and you're like, hey, I'll have 25 beers, thanks. Here's $100.
A bit more of a look into this and
What, how much is one beer cost?
State laws apparently bar the business from accepting Monopoly money for alcohol.
Of course, that makes sense.
But what they are saying is you'll be able to use Monopoly to buy hot dogs, non-alcoholic Jello shots, and tickets for a raffle.
So jelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Non-alcoholic. Like Jello shot is jelly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But that's still, I mean, it's great,
still exciting.
Hot dogs and Jello.
Yeah. A little shot of jelly. Okay. Yeah. It's lost a little bit of its shine.
That's what I'm saying, because essentially now this is just a bar's giving away free hot dogs and jelly. Less exciting.
You've gone from a dark blue square to now a light blue square. Well, I was going to say a red or a brown
square. Maybe poo brown.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're one of the first ones. Murphy's Bar? Ralph's Tavern. Not even close. Ralph's Tavern.
So just taking a little bit of a look here, the only thing that's the shining light in all of this is the tickets for the raffle. And, I mean, could they get around a loophole? Could the raffle prize be some bottles of alcohol?
Yeah. What they should have done is, like, you exchange it for a token, and then the token can get you alcohol. Maybe that's how they get around it. But I guess that's just more steps into what they're doing.
State laws apparently require legal tender to be required for drinks.
Right, okay.
So rock up to Ralph's Tavern this weekend, buy it with some gold, and say, look, I plan to return to the gold standard.
Yeah.
Here are some doubloons. Yeah,
I would like to change these for beer, please.
I'll have a glass of Coors Light. Thank you very much.
Your finest.
Look, this is, I don't know what our alcohol laws are, but if we can have a bar that can run off Monopoly money for a little while,
pretty great.
I'm on board. Yeah. I'm absolutely on board.
You're like, I'd like to exchange this hotel for honestly a bottle of Jack Daniels. I feel like that's worthwhile.
Oh, no, that's the black label, because you know you've got the little green ones.
Of course.
They're your normal run of the mill bottles. Yeah. So you can get the fancy bottles with the Grand Hotel.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
There has been a situation that is great because it's produced us with a cool moral question that
we get to
sort of all work through it together this morning.
Okay.
It's a lady who is received in New York. She's received more than 150 boxes of Amazon purchases that she did not order.
What, they just got dumped at her house?
Yep. They
all at once?
Yep. She called, like, I think she called the police, and she was like, this is the quote, Amazon packages just keep coming.
Yeah. Right. I mean, after 20, you'd be like, when is this going to stop?
It's a bit of a problem. So she's taking a little bit of a look at the Amazon packages.
Do they have her name on them, or do they have other people?
I don't know. I think it's just got her address on them.
Yeah.
So she's gone for the... Do I open this? It's technically someone else's mail. I think this is a bit strange.
Well, yeah, because I guess it's been delivered to your house, but at the end of the day, you know it's not for you.
So do you, this is the first fork in the road of your choose your own adventure. Do you look inside the packages, or do you just call Amazon and say, come and get these aren't for me?
I don't know.
They're all basically the same size boxes as well. So, you know, it's like 150 boxes of the same thing.
Right. What size are they? Like book-sized ones?
They're probably normal, like packing box size.
Right. Okay. So a small box.
Yeah.
I would open one, I know, a federal crime, if it was addressed to my house and I was like, oh, maybe, I'd open one to make sure that, like, I hadn't forgotten. Because if they look like they're all the same kind of thing, I'd open one and be like, all right, these aren't for me, cool, I'll close it up.
So if you maybe wanted 15 of something and then accidentally put a zero on the end and now you got 150 of them.
Or maybe like one late night Saturday, I was just like, oh, I'll have this and I don't know how many I put in and I accidentally put in 150. Just open it up and go, no way I ordered that,
close it back up.
Amazon.
Yeah, well, see, this is where we differ. I would probably just call Amazon. Be like, get this crap off my lawn. I'm so nervous about what might be in these packages. Amazon sell everything. So I'd be like, I'm very nervous about what this might
be. That's true, yeah.
Get this off my front lawn now, please. Yeah. Jeff.
Please.
Call Mr. Bezos himself.
Yeah. Before you go to the space, come and get all these packages.
Get this crap out of my space. That's what I'd be saying to him. All right, well, she did look inside. Okay. That's okay. So I can tell
how
you
many,
she
just one or
did
all
actually
of them?
Do that. No, she did. She looked inside one of them because they're all the same box.
Yeah.
So the part I've left out is they all have the same logo on them. Yeah. They're all doing the same thing. So what she found inside has led her to then contact people, donate the products to a local hospital.
Okay.
Because what she found inside were a bunch of mask brackets, which is like a new thing you can put on side, like a cloth mask that like gives it structure.
Right, okay.
Makes it a bit easier to breathe, apparently.
Yeah, okay.
So she's gone for a donation to the hospital.
So it's meant to go to the hospital or something.
Something like that. A healthcare place or a place that's going to sell the mask brackets. Certainly not to her house.
No, she doesn't need them. Yeah, I guess she's found out that I don't think this would have even been a news story if she'd opened them up and they'd been like iPhones or something. I don't think she would have told
anyone. This is the next fork in the road. If you'd opened up the box and they'd been little Apple iPads by any chance, 150 boxes of them. Are you telling anybody that...
I'd call Amazon and be like, oh, you won't believe it. 100 boxes got dropped in my house. And 100, and that's it.
Can't leave the 50 out. I see what you're doing.
Maybe 120.
Maybe 120.
I don't know what I'm going to do with 50 boxes full of iPads.
Yeah, so just 30 boxes is manageable, though?
Yeah. Actually, sorry, Amazon, I've just found another 20. No, it's 120.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, come down and get these quickly.
Please come and get them. Don't look in my house at all.
Well, the great news is she's, as I said, donated the inventory to hospitals, and I'm here to say that although this lady's honesty is very much applaudable, I think if it was anything other than boring old mask brackets, there would be no honesty.
We wouldn't be hearing about
this. We wouldn't be talking about this story at all.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, the Pope meets, I think, anyone who kind of wants to meet the Pope.
Yeah. I don't think that's quite how it works.
I don't think he has to go and meet
everyone. Knock
on
the door and be like, Pope, I've got to have a word.
But he often comes out and is like, hey, how's it all going? Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm the Pope. What's up? Et cetera, et cetera.
There's all this in Italian as well, usually.
Yeah. No, usually saying it in an Australian accent. But
G'day, mate.
He gets to meet a lot of people. And obviously, they need to vet them. He's got security and stuff. He's got the Pope mobile.
Yeah.
But when someone's like just dressed funnily, there is no there's no risk or threat to the Pope.
Yep.
So they got to kind of just let you meet him.
It's like when the Trump family met the Pope, and they're all it looked like they were going to a funeral.
Yeah,
like they're all wearing very, very somber outfits, and everyone was like, "Geez, it looks very strange. Yeah. Looks very odd." But the Pope was like, "Well, I'm wearing what I wear.
Exactly.
So
you guys can do whatever you want.
This meeting's been arranged. Let's take the photo and get me out of here."
So the Pope has come down to meet a bunch of people on Wednesday, so I guess yesterday, and has met with Spider-Man.
So a guy fully dressed in a Spider-Man costume.
Sam Raimi, like the white stripes. He looks like Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Well,
full
we don't know
head to toe and like the cool eyes as well. Like they're off of his face. So
I've
like
seen the photo. Yeah. It's a proper, it's not like a pretend,
no,
as you said,
real,
like
real
a, oh, you know, dressing up at a costume party. This looks real deal. Like this is a proper cosplay Spider-Man costume.
Exactly right. He was in the Vatican City. He was just walking around in the VIP section because I think he's a Spider-Man who goes to children's hospitals.
Yeah, I think it was for a kid's
which
thing.
Is really, really nice.
Yep.
But it is so bizarre to see him sitting next to like reporters, other religious officials, other security guards, and then in the middle of it all, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man can also handle, if anything happens to the Pope, he's in the best hands with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mm.
Be like, you know what, security, take a day
Vatican
off.
Vatican City surrounded by walls, so Spider-Man will just be able to grab onto one of them straight up.
Honestly, pretty good city for him to be in.
Look, quick question.
Sure.
Because this is, this photo looks bizarre.
It looks very odd.
But this is not so much about the Pope, more just about world leaders, people who are influential in the media.
Yeah.
People, all the... Anytime they're in an odd situation now, because the Pope's quite old, do you think, but he's also, I've seen stuff that he's kind of, he knows what's going on with tech a little
bit. Yeah, he's aware.
Do you think he, or any world leader for that matter, of anything, political, religious, whatever, these influential figures, when they see something like this, do you think they have enough awareness in 2021 to be like, oh, well, this is going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
This is going to be a meme.
Especially
I'm now going to be a meme. Like when Joe Biden fell down the stairs of Air Force One, do you think he's like, cool. It's like when Trump had the toilet paper on his shoe on Air Force One. Now I'm going to be a meme.
I don't know. You know what's funny? I think, I can't explain why. I couldn't even tell you my reasoning. Mm. I think the Pope would be aware. I don't think Joe Biden would be aware for some reason.
Maybe.
Him tripping up the stairs, he's like, wow, this is just everyone falls over.
You know what the funny thing is? I kind of agree with you there.
And I don't know why. I can't explain
why. I feel like
why.
Joe Biden either wouldn't be aware of what a meme was.
Yeah.
Or also wouldn't care.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, okay.
The kids are having a laugh. That's fine by me. I'm happy to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, I've been saying for a little while now some safe driving tips.
Yeah.
Here's one. You never know when a stampede of 40 cows is just going to take to the road in front of you. So just be careful.
Yeah. Is this from a specific example?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. I thought so. Where has this happened?
The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department have had a bit of an uncomfortable Tuesday evening as they've had to wrangle 40 cows that have been on the loose from a slaughterhouse. I'm just taking a little bit of a look at the map here. In Pico Rivera in Los Angeles, which in terms of kilometers, it's kind of like the Belco to Civic.
Wow, so they've got a fair way.
It's kind of like Belconnen area to the CBD of Los Angeles.
That's pretty crazy.
So they're close to the very center of town.
Yeah, wow. And what are they doing? Are they just running around? Are they like destroying stuff?
They're in a little cul-de-sac. So they managed to corner them in a little cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And they've got... Here's the best part of this story, all right? And this is my favorite part of the story. The sheriffs have been wrangling the cows. They have about 40 cows escaped from the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
They've managed to get 38
So there's still a few out there.
They know for sure that there's still one free.
Yeah.
They don't know exact numbers of how many left. They're estimating 40. They've got 38,
yeah.
Which means they know for sure they saw one run away.
Yeah.
But there could be more than run away.
Yeah, there's potentially more.
So there's potentially like three or four that ran away. They know for sure because they saw one leave.
That's pretty funny.
So that one cow.
Fugitive cows.
Fugitive cow.
Yeah. That's
he's on the run.
A menace to society. That's so funny. It's also funny to think of like sheriffs. They're going back to their roots. They're rustling cows.
It's literally like a Wild West. Sheriff.
They're having to go back to basics.
Yeah, I wonder if there were lassos involved.
Well, that's it. Surely you would have to imagine.
A thing you have to learn to be a sheriff?
Do you have to bring in a special kind of cowboy?
Yeah, of course. Because
a sheriff, I guess, whilst they're around in the West, they weren't really dealing with this kind of stuff.
But sheriff's
hands.
I'd be very disappointed to know that a sheriff's department, even in 2021, didn't have a cowboy section. Yeah. If they got a SWAT team, why is there no cowboy section?
Especially because they wear cowboy hats. It's like it's almost like a part of the outfit or the uniform.
I agree.
That they have to wear in some parts of the country. So, if you're going to put on a cowboy hat, you need to know how to use a lasso.
A lasso, a wild steer.
Exactly.
That's what you've got to know how to do.
Exactly right.
I don't think any of them knew how to do it, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
I think what's happened is they probably called the people from the slaughterhouse and gone, we've got your cows.
Yeah.
Come and get them.
Well, you need to bring them back.
Or there's going to be a slaughterhouse of a different kind.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to avoid that, but it really is.
The outcome is not good for these cows in any circumstance.
No.
So that's probably why they've gone on the run.
Yeah,
and that's why those, you know, that's going to be sad because the other cows aren't even going to be around to tell the story of the cows that got away.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. They'll just go there. They'll go straight back into this factory, and then unfortunately, that'd probably be it.
Or kind of like the president does with the turkeys at Thanksgiving. Do these cows, because they've shown themselves to break out and go on the run, they've tasted freedom.
Yeah.
Do we now go? No, they get a pardon.
Yeah, because
these
being
cows
so brave,
now get a pardon. They just get to live out their lives on a farm, eating grass.
I'm not saying we should let the 38 ones go back, but certainly the one that escaped. The search is off. That's essentially a free cow. He's managed to avoid the authorities. He's gotten away from the pack. He is his own cow.
I'm just picturing a sheriff getting up to the top of, you know, Griffith Observatory where you can look out over Los Angeles and just go, the one that got away. And just hear,
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
Where is he? I know she's around here.
As long as I can hear in the distance, I'll know someone's sleeping under the free stars tonight.
Someone's on the run. This cow sounds like it's taunting this guy.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Yeah, you know what? It is right now. It's time for us to be a little mysterious this morning, Ned.
That's exactly right. We are playing the mystery mention. You get on the phone 131060. You choose Josh or I to leave the studio. Whilst we are out of the room, the person who is left will give you a word that you need to hide in a sentence that goes for, or sorry, a story that goes for about 20 seconds.
Yep.
If you can successfully hide the word in the sentence, the story, you win the prize.
Which is tickets to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be big as they take on the Gold Coast Titans at JO Stadium. You could be there for free, but in order to win that, you need to get a bit mysterious with us this morning. Linda's on the line from Gowrie. How are you this morning, Linda?
I'm good, and yourself?
Not too
great,
bad.
Linda.
You ready to be a part of some mystery?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, one of us needs to leave the room, and you get to pick who.
I hope it's Josh.
You know what? Whoever points to each other first gets out first.
No, I was absolutely first.
What?
I was absolutely first.
Just because I can't.
I like that, Linda.
The only
keeping
thing I can't
us on
be
our toes.
More than walking out is arguing at the moment.
Okay, so here we go. Ned's off.
All right.
Ned had a good word he was saying as he left. Well,
I'm
Linda,
to get out.
The great news is I don't have a good word. So I'm going to say that my word this morning. Actually, no, this could be good. Go with muffin. Okay, muffin. Is the word.
Yep.
All right, Ned, come back into the room. Come back in. What else would I be yelling at you?
Because I know I had my fingers in my ears. The real problem is if I'm going to have my fingers in my ears, I need to look at you.
You do need to look at me. Yeah.
Otherwise, I have no indication as when to come back in.
All right, Linda, take away your story.
I hear you got a story for me. Hit me with it.
I do.
Okay,
so this weekend I'm organising to go to the snow.
Ooh.
And thinking of packing some food and bringing some yummy things like, you know, donuts and maybe some warm hot chocolate and marshmallows and some muffins, pack some fruit as well. And that's about it, really. And then we'll probably go out to the snow and come back.
Okay.
That's a beautiful story. Using the list technique.
Well, potentially using the list technique. You don't know that one of the words was in the list. Could have been a decoy by using the list technique.
You know why I know it's not one of the words beforehand and I know it's a word in the list is because when you said, so I'm planning on going to the snow, Josh looked so confused as to, like, how is she going to use this word that I've given her? The snow has nothing to do with it.
I did actually, I let you down a little bit there,
you
Linda.
I
was very impressed with
how
you...
Your mate gave you a lie.
Yeah, you pulled it back, though.
His poker face is awful. Okay, here is my thinking. It's either chocolate. I can't remember what the first one was. Damn it, I should have not. Yeah, I should have had a mind for so long. I think it is... I think it's chocolate.
Is it, Linda?
No.
Okay, there we go.
I don't think I even said chocolate.
No, you said. Didn't you say warm, hot chocolate? With marshmallows? Yeah.
You're right.
I was going to say, that's not good.
Wasn't the word. Linda didn't even remember saying it. The muffin this morning, Linda. The word this morning was muffin. No, the word this morning was muffin.
Yeah. I got so giddy about, like, oh, I know it's not snow, that I forgot to remember what the list was.
Which means, Linda, you've got yourself some tickets to go see the Raiders
take on
the Gold Coast Titans July 3 at GIO Stadium. Well done, Linda.
Thank you.
No problems at all.
Thank
Beautifully
you.
Done. That is how the mystery mention works.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, apparently the way that we all wake up and something that everyone does, I think, for their morning routine, apparently is wrong. I'm so kind of sick of hearing about this, about how just like every part of the way I live is wrong. It's like, hey, if you walk with your left foot off slightly in front of your right foot, that means you're going to die 30 years younger than anyone else.
It is disappointing when you keep hearing all these things and they point directly to things you do.
It's like if you hold just a spoon in your right hand more than your left, that's it for you. Sorry.
The whole bacon debacle of like five years ago. That was terrible.
No. Yeah. I kind of gave up on that. It's like, you know what? I'm going to eat the foods
I like. Eating food.
And if that end unfortunately puts me in an early grave, so be it. I'll go out a happy man. This thing is not so dire as much as it's just kind of like if you're doing this when you wake up, it's just not a great way to wake up. It kind of puts you back to sleep. But having a hot shower first thing in the morning is apparently really bad to wake you up because all of the heat is rushing to you and it goes to your head or whatever. And then the second you step out, it all rushes back down to your body and it gives you like a really calming effect where your head's like, okay.
This annoys me so much because I never have a shower at night. And I had a hot shower at night about a month ago and I couldn't get to sleep.
Yeah.
And I was Googling relentlessly what happened. And they're like, if you have a hot shower right before bed, it wakes you up.
No, it's like the opposite.
What the hell? This doesn't make any sense.
If you have a super hot bath, that's apparently what you're meant to do because all of the heat goes to your head and then the second you get out of the bath, it all drops and so your body temperature is just like,
I'm tired.
Yeah, right. Apparently what you're meant to do is have a hot shower but then change it up with intervals, like for 30-second intervals of freezing cold. So like if you're in the shower, turn the tap, the nozzle all the way cut to cold for 30 seconds. Live in that hell for 30 seconds and then turn it back to warm.
And that gives you like the pins and needles when you turn it back to hot. You're like, okay. It's like when you jump into a spa after being in the pool. You're like,
Now, I have no doubt in my mind that this would work. I mean, sure, go for it, whatever. Mm. But there's a lot of things that I could be doing to wake myself up in the morning. I have a hot shower and then I come into work and then I have a coffee. That's how I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I could... just before I start my car in the morning, attach two leads to my chest and shock myself awake. I could also do that, but I'm also not going to do that either.
This advice is as uncomfortable
this
and
is
impractical.
Awful.
Yeah.
I don't want to cold blast myself in the shower for 30 seconds five times every morning because, I will be awake. Also, I would be more awake if I knocked on my neighbor's door and at 5 in the morning got one of them to slap me across the face. Yeah. That would also wake me up.
Wake you right up.
Exactly.
Wake
that's
him
what I mean.
Up, quite frankly.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean. There's a bunch of things I could be doing to wake myself up. I just don't want to.
This is a scientist, I reckon, that has one of those, because we all know, I know like three people that do it who go, oh, cold shower, always the way to start your day. You don't have a hot shower. What are you doing? You're an idiot.
Yeah.
And so this is a scientist that's gone, we need to find a compromise.
Yeah.
Because a pure 3-minute cold shower is insanity.
That's not normal.
I don't know how anybody's doing that in Canberra.
Yep.
And so they've gone, bit of hot, bit of cold.
Yeah.
Has the same effect as just straight cold.
Yeah.
This is a compromise for a scientist whose mate's been annoying him latest thing.
30-second intervals, maybe four times a shower. That's it. We're not doing this forever.
My next thing is to disprove every diet under the sun because I don't want to keep hearing about all these magical diets.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast. Podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.